So there's a few of us going to get baptized. But before we do that, I'd like to talk a little bit, because you know, the reason I'd like to talk about baptism this morning isn't just because we're going to have one today, but it's a really big deal in the eyes of Almighty God. So allow me this morning to share just a little bit with my heart on why I'm teaching this today. If you're a Christian and you have never been baptized, I want you to be baptized. And hopefully after these few minutes, you'll be a bit more motivated to do it. So let's talk about baptism, and then we'll dunk some people and celebrate together. Tristan, how long do you hold your breath? Have you ever counted? We may find out today. He's bigger than me. He'll have me down. You know, I think that most people's opinions about baptism aren't shaped by what the Bible says, but they're more shaped about the family they were raised in or the church they went to when they were younger. And so the issue of baptism is a very emotional one. And I've been involved in situations like this where a man and a woman who aren't interested in God and don't go to church, so they start living together, and then she gets pregnant. And as soon as that baby's born, I get a phone call. And they want to talk to me about getting their baby baptized because they want to make sure that their child goes to heaven. And so I'll get with them and we'll talk. And I want to find out, well, why do you feel this way? And oftentimes they don't know why. It's simply an emotional thing. And maybe it's a little superstitious. And often they don't want to hear what the Bible says. They just want to make sure that their baby is in. And so if you were raised in a mainline denomination, like most of us were, and I was, you may have been taught that baptism is necessary for a person to go to heaven. And as a consequence, those types of churches tend to baptize babies really early. But this is tradition. And when I ask people who sat underneath that kind of teaching why they believe that, it's because that's what they were told to believe. And so if you come from that type of background, it may sound like this morning I'm wanting to attack your upbringing. That's not my intent at all. I'm simply trying to instruct us on what the Bible says about water baptism, because baptism really matters to Christian churches because of something Jesus said right before he ascended into heaven. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. There's one verse or a couple verses I want you to see there. Matthew chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. I'll read it to you. You'll hear it. 28 verse starts in 18. So right before Jesus goes up to heaven, he says this. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The word for baptized there is, in the Greek, baptismo. It's an imperative in the Greek language. In other words, this is not an optional thing. It's a command from Jesus himself. All believers in Christ are commanded to be baptized in water. And notice there, because we're not going to spend much time here, notice there, we're to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, speaking of the unity of the three persons of the Trinity. So there's one spot. The other spot I'd like you to go, and I want to read a little bit of that, is over in Romans. So go to your right, about three or four books or five books or whatever it is. And then book of Romans chapter 6. And I want to read 11 verses there. So Romans 6, 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Last verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when a Christian, all that's to say this, when a Christian is water baptized, they're identifying with Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. And the water in the baptismal represents the grave. And being dunked into that water represents what our spiritual condition was before we came to know Christ. We were dead in our sins. And then when we're in the water, symbolizing us being dead to our sins. And then when we come up out of the water, it represents God raising us to newness of life by virtue of our faith in Christ. So in essence, when a believer is baptized, they're saying that they're dead to their old life and they're alive to their new life. And that then they're going to live the rest of their life in devotion to Jesus Christ. That's baptism. As clear as I can say it, that's baptism. And the Bible says it really clear there in Romans 6. I'm dead to the things that matter to me. My goals, my dreams, my aspirations, all those things that I want for my own life, I lay those down and say, God, I know you know what's best for me, and I am submitted to your will in my life. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to live in obedience to what you have for me because you know best. And it's just a symbolic thing of saying that in front of all these people. It's a great thing. So water baptism is a public declaration of faith in Christ. You know, when Jesus called people to follow him, he never did it privately. Every single time. He publicly called people to follow him. And when we're baptized, we are saying to the world, we're shouting out to the world, I am a committed follower of Jesus. Now, two verses I'd like you to turn to. One's in Mark chapter 16. And it's important for me. Mark's the other way, to your left. The last little bit of Mark. If I can find it. There it is. Mark 16, verse 15. You know, I said earlier, some have taken verses like this, and they try to make the case that baptism is essential for salvation. In theological circles, it's called baptismal regeneration. And they believe that a person is not born again until they're baptized. So this is one of the verses that they point to. It's in Mark chapter 15. Is that where it is? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus talking. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And then he talks a little bit more after that. So those people take this verse and say, aha, see, Jesus himself was saying, you got to be baptized in order to be saved. I totally and completely disagree with that teaching. And I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying here at all. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He does not say, he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. The expectation, what Jesus is saying, is that those who believe will be baptized. But what condemns a person? That's a question we have to ask as we read that. Well, what's a condemns a person? Well, a person is not condemned for failing to be baptized. They are condemned for failing to believe. And the emphasis of that verse is that I read there. It's clearly much more on believing than it is on baptism. So, an aside, verse 16. It's one of the reasons why infant baptism is not scriptural. Now, if you were baptized as an infant, I was, it doesn't mean anything other than it isn't in the Bible. Okay? I mean, that's a big deal. Because here in verse 16, Jesus is connecting believing with being baptized. Infant baptism separates baptism from belief. A baby doesn't have the mental capacity for saving faith in Christ. And thus, they're unable to choose to become his disciple. Now, we love dedicating children to the Lord. I just did my grandson a couple weeks ago. It's a worthy thing for a parent to stand in front of their congregation and say they're dedicating themselves and their child to the Lord. That's fabulous and biblical. But that's not baptism. Baptism is connected to belief. We see it right here. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized." So why have people taken the principle of baptism and pushed it all the way forward to when a person is an infant? Even though there's not one example of it in the whole New Testament, not one. Is it due to tradition? Ritual? I don't know. But it is not scriptural. Last verse that people point to about those thinking that you got to be baptized to be saved. It's over in Acts. Acts chapter 2, I think it is. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's to the right. That's an IU educated person there. Well, who said that? Was that Billy? That's Ball State. That's Ball State. Yeah, that's a whole other level of education. Billy kind of got blushy there on me. We're going to have to start over because I lost my spot. Acts 2. By the way, we're not like this normally. It's really unusual. Well, it's a special day. And we missed last week, so I got 2 weeks of stuff pent up. The number of people who text me, hold on, hang on a second. You pastor, you work one day a week, and now you're taking a week off? And I was like, I didn't have anything come back. You know, normally I'm not speechless very often, but I was kind of, didn't know what to say there. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see why they point to that as a reason why they hold that a person has to be baptized to be saved? But the key word in that sentence is the word "for." Let me emphasize it again. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But in the original language, that word literally is "because of." And so here's how it should read in the original text. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of remission of sin. It's because you've been saved that you are to be baptized. It's like reading a wanted poster and it says, "Wanted, Jesse James for bank robbery." You don't want Jesse James to commit a bank robbery. No, you want Jesse James because of bank robbery. And that's what this is talking to us about. In fact, when you think about it, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, Paul states there that he's thankful that he only baptized a few people. Now, if baptism was essential to salvation, the Apostle Paul would have been a baptizing machine. So clearly, baptism isn't necessary to be saved. It's simply an important outward sign of an inward work of God's Spirit within a believer's life. There is not one single person who's saved by virtue of water baptism. We're saved by the basis of faith, trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and we're water baptized in obedience as an expression of our worship to God for how he saved us. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to celebrate what God has done in the lives of these people. Amen? So, last thing. Let me answer just a few questions you might have. Does the Bible say that we have to be totally submerged? No, but the Greek word baptismo literally means to plunge or to dip. So, it implies total immersion. So it's good to be dunked, but it doesn't matter if you're dipped or you're dunked or you're sprinkled or whatever. What matters is the condition of your heart, because God looks at our heart and is concerned with why you are being baptized, not the mode of how you're being baptized. Second thing, can a person be baptized more than once? Yes. There's nothing in the Bible forbidding more than one baptism. Many times a person will be baptized the second time. Maybe they have drifted away from God and now they've turned back and they want to recommit themselves publicly. Or maybe they've had an incredible encounter with the Lord and they want to seal that with symbolically stating they're dead to themselves and alive to God. You know, I take people to Mazatlan. We're trying to go a year from now to Mazatlan, Mexico, Pacific Ocean, middle Mexico. And we're out in the ocean and many people like to be baptized there, even though they've been baptized before, because they've had an incredible encounter with God when they're there. And they just want to publicly state that they're committed to following him. So the third question is, can only pastors baptize people? No, there's nothing makes me different than you. I mean, I have a certificate, but whoopee-doopee. I don't even know what that means. I hope that's not a cuss word in Greek. Now, Scripture doesn't say that only ordained people can baptize. In fact, it appears as if Jesus never baptized anyone. And like I read or spoke to earlier, Apostle Paul only baptized a few people. So according to Scripture, any Christian is permitted to baptize. And today, a couple fathers are going to baptize their son, which I think is pretty awesome. And then the last question is a question, should you be baptized? Absolutely. It is a command. It's an outward show of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a step of obedience for all Christians. I think some, and I think probably a lot, view baptism as really not that big a deal. You know, I got saved 10 years ago and I just haven't gotten around to it. Well, I think that's a poor attitude toward baptism. It may not be essential to salvation, but it is essential to obedience. And I think there are people who struggle in their Christian faith, and it stems from the fact that they've never done this, because Jesus calls us to get baptized as an act of obedience, and we just kind of blown it off, and then we begin to struggle, and it could stem, and I'm not sure exactly, but it could stem from the fact that you have yet to do this. So if you're a believer and you're yet to be baptized, let's do it today. Liz Cenac, where's Liz? I saw her earlier. There's Liz. See Liz's hand. Put your hand up again, Liz. So we were over at Family Fun and Fitness back in the day before we came over here, and they have a pool there, so we would do our baptism in that pool. And we did a baptism, and always have Diana say, anybody else want to get baptized? And sometimes people would get in, but Liz, if I butcher this, you got to tell me. But Liz got in the car and started to go home. They live in Franklin, by the way, and started to go home. I don't know, how far did you get, Liz, down the street?
Halfway
home. And she had Chris turn that car around and come back. And did you have a dress on that day?
Yeah,
just dress and all. So if the Lord's prompting your heart, we got towels. We got, don't fret. If God's prompting you to be baptized, let's do it, okay? So let's pray. Let's see. I think that's everything I have. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, thanks for just freedom we have to gather like this and to honor you and to bless you and to worship you. And thanks for how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this dirty old ball of dirt and go to that cross so that we might live. And Lord, I pray if any of us have yet to come to a place where we put our faith in you, that today would be the day we say, yes, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I want to walk with you the rest of my life, God. We want to celebrate your goodness today, Lord. And we thank you for what baptism represents. And as people stand and say, I'm a committed follower of Jesus. So have your way. May your Spirit really come and just permeate this place, Lord. So be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think, let me say this. all I said that toward the end about if you've not been baptized yet, that you need to. This is spiritual. This is a spiritual battle. This week, there were a few more people who were going to get baptized, and they're not here. It's spiritual. You got to know that this is part of the spiritual battle in your life. And there's an enemy who's trying to rob you, and he's really good at what he does. I mean, we got 133 inches of snow and got paralyzed for a week. He never gets paralyzed. He's full on go all day, every day, and he's trying to keep you from being obedient to Jesus. And so you got to press through that, saint. You got to press through that. And you got to say, God, whatever you want from me, I'm in. I want to be a committed follower of yours.